This is Free Thought Radio with co-host Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
Hello, you godless infidel or happy heathen. You just heard Rick Santorum saying America belongs to God. That's a taste of the theocratic statements made last week at CPAC. And we'll talk more about getting God out of politics and God out of government on today's show with an interview with the only openly non-religious member of Congress, Representative Pete Stark. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm your co-host. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of February 19th and 20th, 2011. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting, streaming from Madison, Wisconsin. We also air in several other cities around the nation. And of course, we podcast everywhere. This show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. And as Annie Laurie said, we'll be talking on the second half of Free Thought Radio with Member of Congress Pete Stark. In part, we'll talk about his resolution calling on Congress to declare Darwin Day. And here's a little teaser of what we might be hearing from Congressman Stark. This is a clip from Stark's video acceptance of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Emperor Has No Clothes Award from last fall.
Thankfully, we're moving in a direction where some feel it's not an act of courage simply to state that you don't believe in God. The work of the Freedom From Religion Foundation is helping to make this possible.
Well, let's savor that, the rational remarks of a member of Congress, as we now go through the theocratic tenor of much of the CPAC gathering last week.
CPAC is CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. It's an annual political conference attended by conservative activists and elected officials. It's hosted by the American Conservative Union Foundation, which is a 501c3 charity. The conference was founded in 1973, the same year that Pete Stark joined the Congress, by the way. It was founded in 1973 by the American Conservative Union and Young Americans for Freedom. About half of those in attendance in the past few years have been college-aged. Speakers have included Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Pat Buchanan, Karl Rove, Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, Tony Snow, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Michelle Bachmann, and hundreds of other notable conservatives.
Free Thought Radio earlier this month played clips, critical clips, of President Obama's prayerful remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast. We are equal opportunity when it comes to politicians courting votes by wearing religion on their sleeves, or in the case of many speakers at last week's CPAC gathering, insisting America is a godly and even a Christian nation. So let's get started.
And one of the most important things that we should always remember is the motto of our country, "In God We Trust."
That's former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. And of course, the motto, "In God We Trust," was not our original motto. You know what it was, Annie Laurie?
Yeah, E Pluribus Unum, from many come one.
That's Latin.
Latin to celebrate the idea that we have our states and our federal government. We have a plurality.
And it's true that "In God We Trust" is now currently our national motto. But that
as
happened,
well, there are two mottos.
But that was inserted in the 1950s in that Cold War, McCarthyism, anti-communism scare, when nobody, the religious opportunists took advantage of that climate, no one would dare be seen voting against God. And this Johnny-come-lately, In God We Trust, became our national motto. And it should not be.
But of course, and he said that it was the foundation that our founders intended, and there's no God in our Constitution. Don't you wish these politicians would pick up the Constitution and read it someday? And I really objected to Pawlenty saying, ladies and gentlemen, we as a nation must move towards God, not away from God. And this is ridiculous. We don't need sermons. But out of the frying pan into the fire, here's Representative Alan West at CPAC saying, America has a Judeo-Christian government.
Because we cannot allow the destruction of the American family to have a new dawn in America. It means reclaiming our Judeo-Christian faith heritage.
The destruction of the American family. Annie Laurie, tell us in about 30 seconds or less, what's wrong with his statement?
Well, this was in the context of, as so many of them were, of going after marriage equality, going after gays and lesbians and their civil rights. And this, when they say Judeo-Christian, this is really just a cover word for Christian, the Bible. And they mean by that both the Old and the New Testaments.
We started today's show with a brief excerpt of former Senator Rick Santorum's troubling remarks. And here's some more of that excerpt.
All men are created equal. Is that because all of us are equal? No. We are equal only because, in the eyes of God, we're equal. You talk about the tyranny of what's going on in the last couple of years with Obamacare and the Dodd-Frank bill and all of this and TARP and all of this government control of our lives. And government telling us what to do and taking freedom away from us. Well, if you lived in the trenches of the social conservative movement, you've seen this in America. You saw it in the issue of life when a group of judges decided, well, we're just smart enough and we're going to take that decision away from you. We're going to take that power away from you to make that decision. Or in the issue now recently of marriage, that they're going to take that power away. Ladies and gentlemen, the judiciary cannot create life, and it did not create marriage. And it has no right to redefine either one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, America belongs to God.
Now that's pretty creepy. And I'm reminded, the beginning of his remarks, of Orwell's Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Did you catch that? So what's your response?
Well, the Bible does not say that all men are created equal. That's an anti-biblical concept. Our founders said that, and of course, when Thomas Jefferson put that in the Declaration of Independence, he was talking more about nature and nature's God. We are created by nature all equal, not
equal. Of course, I could criticize him. All men are created equal. It took a long time for women to finally get in the Constitution.
You know, we have not had a liberal democracy in this country.
To get rid of slavery.
We didn't have a real liberal democracy on this planet until women got the right to vote in this country.
And of course, his remarks were directed. This is Santorum. He's a famous for his Roman Catholic views, and he's very anti-abortion as well as anti-gay.
And the speakers at the CPAC were quite varied. One of them was this notorious figure. Remember General Jerry Boykin? Remember his remark, basically, that his Christian God was... That our God can beat up your God. His Christian God was better than the Muslim God. Well, here he is back again in full stride at the CPAC.
I'm talking about fighting with the weapons that are not carnal but are spiritual. The weapons that we have been given by an almighty God. It is time for the church to rise up and to become a mighty army.
Here's the general talking about the church becoming a mighty army.
And, you know, this is frightening. This should send chills down your spine. The church is a mighty, I mean, it's onward Christian soldiers, and he means it.
Marching as to war. We don't have a clip of Elaine Donnelly's remarks. She's with the Center for Military Readiness, but she used a panel at CPAC to continue a campaign against gay and lesbian members of the armed forces. And many, many speakers at that conference directed their ire at the idea, the radical idea of marriage equality.
And now here's a clip of Lori Roth talking about America being a Christian nation.
Some of you probably forgot we're a Christian country. Apparently Obama did when he told the Turkish parliament a couple years ago, I thought I'd lose my ever-living mind when he said we're not a Christian country. Of course not. because he's too busy kissing up to Islam. What is that about? I don't quite get that guy.
Maybe she did lose her ever living mind. Who is this Lori Roth person anyway?
Well, who the heck is Lori Roth? She apparently has a radio show, Dan. And geez, these days anyone can have a radio show.
Yeah.
Just a little inside joke. But now, Christian Nation, we have a whole tract, non-tract, we call it, and you can get it at our website under publications, and you can order them if you want to mass distribute. Is America a Christian Nation? And we debunk this point by point. Of course, we're not a Christian nation. There's no God. There's no Jesus in the Constitution. We're predicated on the separation between religion and government. And we, the people, doesn't matter what religion you are, we're all supposed to be equal under the law. I mean, this is just basic civics. How can they all be so dumb and so misguided?
Yeah, well, they have this idea from the pulpit that all of our values come from Christianity, which they don't. There's no equality in the Bible. There's no democracy. There's no consent of the government. There's no liberty in the Bible. All these wonderful American principles are anti-biblical principles.
And it looks to me like they've all taken a message of the big lie. Just repeat something, your misguided propaganda over and over again, and people will believe it. And that's very sad. This is the biggest myth that we confront at the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And that's one of our purposes, is to confront those untruths. You're listening to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back to talk a bit more about CPAC, the promotion of religion into our secular government. And after the mid-break, we'll talk with Representative Pete Stark.
This is Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And we've been talking about last week's notorious CPAC gathering and all the religion going on there. Before we talk a bit more about what FFRF is doing to keep religion out of government, we do have two final clips from that conservative gathering last week, which we are analyzing for all the religion. Here's conservative writer David Horowitz sounding a common theme by CPAC speakers, which I find unbelievable. See what you think, talking about Muslim infiltrators.
The Muslim Brotherhood has been wildly successful in its plan to become part of America's civil culture and to infiltrate the institutions of America's civil governments, including the White House.
The Russians are coming! The Russians are coming!
So, what can you say?
The Muslims are coming!
The next audio clip isn't from the CPAC gathering per se, but it's a radio personality who was involved, and this is a man named Brian Fisher. And after we play this, Dan, when you haven't heard it yet, I want your reaction as a member of an Indian tribe.
Because many Native Americans still to this day continue to cling to the darkness of indigenous superstition instead of coming into the light of Christianity and assimilating into Christian culture.
Wow, the darkness of Indian superstition, the idea that there were turtles and beavers and eagles and that the sun could be worshipped. I mean, the darkness of all that. How does that compare with the darkness of Christianity?
Which talks about remission of sins
and
through
shedding of
child
blood
sacrifice.
And burning bushes and talking snakes. And one mythology is darkness and the other is light, I suppose.
I'm not sure why he was picking on Native Americans there, but that kind of shows you the...
But that always happened. You know, when the Europeans came over here with their true religion, it was with a gun and a Bible to convert, and some of them came expressly to convert the savages.
But how many Native Americans are unconverted these days, Dan? It's not like a big issue, and here he is attacking them.
Yeah, I know. In fact, my tribe, we are the Lenape, the Lenape tribe. We're the tribe that sold Manhattan to the Dutch for $24, and we had to move. We had 7 migrations. We ended up in Kansas and then down in Oklahoma, Indian Territory. And to this day, I don't know how it got there, but our tribe has not only the turkey print and the wolf print and the turtle shell, the three major clans of our tribe, but it also has a Christian cross on the tribal seal. So
that's sad.
Yeah, in Kansas, our tribe was missionized and Christianized by the invaders.
So we're going to stop talking about CPAC and the theocrats and religion and government, and we're going to talk about what FFF is doing to stop that. We've been in the news a lot in Wisconsin in the past week or so because we have complaints against prayer by local government bodies in Wisconsin, including Burnett County and by the Marshfield City Council, where FFRF, in fact, won a lawsuit in the past in Marshfield, and they're taking our complaints seriously.
We went over that big Jesus statue there in the city park. Well, here's some local TV coverage of that complaint, which was played, which is by WAOW Channel 9.
Religion is often a hot topic, especially when it's involved with government. Newsline 9's Mike Haverly joins us now in the studio.
The saying goes, church is separated from state. A group in Madison believe that's not happening in the city of Marshfield.
And we have put them on notice. I've pointed out that very clearly what the court rulings are on this, and we would expect them to comply.
Before city council meetings, those from any religious background are allowed to say a prayer. It's a local tradition city and religious leaders say has been going on for decades.
One of the things that I think our community has appreciated and that we've appreciated the honor of being a part of is looking at the important decisions being made on a weekly basis, and that we're there to ask God's blessing on our community. We believe in a God who answers prayer.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, based in Madison, says they were alerted to the prayer tradition by someone who lives in Marshfield. The organization sent a letter to the city asking them to stop what they believe is an unlawful practice.
It does violate the parameters of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding government prayer. Our group doesn't think that the government should have a prayer at all. They violate the spirit of the separation between church and state.
But those involved with the ritual say it doesn't violate any laws because they make sure to include all faith traditions. The opening prayer has had Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and even Wiccan representation.
The city is not in violation of the First Amendment, but the city attorney is looking over the situation anyway.
So that's one of the common things that we do at FFRF is we receive complaints from our members and members of the public who realize that their local city council or county board is praying, invariably with a majority of the prayers being Christian. And that's true in Marshfield because they have some token minorities. That doesn't mean that they can still proceed with Christian prayer as being the dominant prayer of their government. And, the Supreme Court didn't say that. The Supreme Court said you can have prayer, government prayer, if it's non-denominational. So we are educating, but it's an uphill battle. We just took a complaint this week. I don't think you know about this, Dan. The Lubbock mayor called for a day,
Texas.
A day of fasting, I think it was, and prayer to end the drought there. And we sent a letter and said, our hearts go out to anyone in that area that's enduring this drought, but what kind of a God are you worshiping that would send the drought in the first place? I mean, if it has the power to stop the drought, it obviously had the power to start it. This does not make sense. This is beyond the parameters of government, and it's also insulting to human intelligence. I mean, we have both a state church issue here, and then we have what are they thinking kinds of issues.
Yeah, it's a sign of helplessness. You heard that pastor quoted in that story in Marshfield, acting like he has the right and the duty to use the city council as his pulpit, as his, mm-hmm. He thinks it's his city, and he gets to get up and bless it with his prayer.
And do you think that this God, if he existed, could possibly listen to all these prayers from all of the city councils
he's
and
infinite.
County boards?
No, he's infinite. He
all
can,
the people begging him to change natural laws in their
football
direction?
Football games, yeah.
My gosh.
In algebra tests, yeah.
People who don't think very clearly about prayer, nothing fails like prayer, as the FFRF bumper sticker said, as my mother famously said.
So who's coming up after the break?
We are going to talk for the first time on Free Thought Radio with Congressman Pete Stark, the only openly non-theist representative in Congress, and we're very excited, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Dorothea Harlow from Fox River. River Grove, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller here with Dan Barker.
And we're very pleased to have, as our guest on today's show, Representative Pete Stark, member of the House of Representatives. Pete Stark was born in Milwaukee, and our show, of course, broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin. He was born on November 11th, 1931, and I figured out from that that this means that he will turn 80 on 11-11-11. And I bet you he'll tell us he already figured that out. He went to MIT, served in the Air Force, started a successful bank in California, and served California's 13th congressional district since, guess when? 1973. 38 years. In fact, that was the same month that Roe v. Wade came down, I noticed in the history books. He's currently the fifth most senior member of the House, which means his constituents must really love him and love his voting record. His election only dropped below 60% twice in all these years. He serves on the Ways and Means Committee, the Banking and Currency, and he's also a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which has more than 80 members. And more than that, he is, as far as we know, the only open non-believer in Congress.
Welcome to our show, Representative Stark.
Happy to be with you.
I was telling you before that when we played the video acceptance speech that you prepared for us, accepting the Emperor Has No Clothes Award, our audience just erupted in applause and appreciation for your candidness and your rationality.
Well, I thank your audience. I think it's has more to do with your audience than it does with me. But as I say, it came about, so I guess innocently, I don't know whether you know this, but somebody was looking around for the highest ranking politician in the country who was a non-believer or atheist. And one of the people in my community turned my name in. And somebody else turned in the librarian or city council member from Berkeley. And those were the two of us. And my constituent got a $1,000 award for turning my name in. He wouldn't split it with me. I mentioned
there was,
that.
I didn't know there was an award.
Oh, yeah. He got $1,000.
So you rank higher than the librarian. Well, that's good.
Well, that was, and I want to tell you, in Berkeley, that's no mean trick.
Well, I think actually that Representative Ernie Chambers was still in the Nebraska Senate at that time that you were quote unquote outed.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't like labels, but he's not religious. And he was term limited out because he had such a good voting record. So
That was too bad.
But that was the only way they could get rid of him because he was so popular.
Well, and
no, but as I say, it's never really come up with me here other than in that context. It's somebody, and I don't know if any of my colleagues think that it affects my voting particularly one way or the other. I do, firmly believe in the separation and on occasion will get involved in those issues.
Yes.
That we should not be legislating religious issues, but actually the Congress is pretty good about that. Fuss about what you put on the dollar bill or something like that, but beyond that, I think they tend to stay pretty much away. Now, they may be driven, the tea baggers or the tea party or whatever, by evangelical beliefs, but they don't express it as such.
Of course, there is that little sentence in the U.S. Constitution that there shall be no religious test for public office.
Precisely.
I remember when the news came out that you were the perhaps only non-believing member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I read some newspaper in your district. I forget what it was. They went to some pastors and said, "Did you know that?" And one pastor said, "It's not a direct quote, but said, oh, he's a non-believer? Well, but we like his voting. We like how he votes." So they didn't care.
No, in my, you know, my career would show you that for a long time I was chairman of the board of the Star King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, and then because when they organized the religious union on Religious Hill there in Berkeley, where they got all the seminaries to organize along with the university, and the university would teach religious history and those sorts of things, but not, and then each seminary would contribute a professor and a course. And unfortunately, Star King's course was labeled homosexuality as a religious experience, and that wasn't well taken by the university at the time, so they kicked us out of there. Eventually, I guess we got more serious and began to participate. And was it Dillenberger who became the head of that school? Very, very prestigious graduate theological seminary. I was always sort of involved on the business side of it and not on the theological side.
Now, Representative Stark, I don't know a lot about your background religiously. Were you brought up with a religion, or were you raised in a free-thinking family, or how did you come to be one of the nuns?
My parents sent my brother and me, my brother was a year and a half younger than me, off to Sunday school regularly. And I suspect I know why. They wanted to be home alone on Sunday mornings. Huh. And the best way to get rid of us was to send us off to Sunday school. It was a congregational church, and in our community, it was kind of the church to belong to. I don't know what it, you know, why. I presume it was a more liberal, certainly than the Baptist church or the Catholic church right around the corner. And so we'd go to Sunday school, and then after we got out of about third or fourth grade in Sunday school, we'd go into the 10 o'clock service, and that kind of used up our Sunday mornings. And I don't know, I didn't think any more about it than that's where we went. I know that I sure never could memorize all the Bible passages they want us to memorize, but...
Well, you must have been just one of the damned lost souls then, and not a true believer.
Well, I'm not sure that they were very precise about what we ought to believe and not believe. I mean, it was, I don't know. I guess I didn't really have pay much attention to it. It didn't seem very interesting to me. You know, there were more problems we could do, make paper airplanes out of the Sunday schedule or... balls to throw at people. You can't put 40 or 50 little kids together, you know, 5 to 10 years old, in a room and expect them to come out with a great religious experience. I don't think.
Now, you after you kind of grew up, did you ever label yourself a non-theist or atheist or agnostic? Or how did you come to be outed by this, like, you know, local person?
Well, they just called me. Somebody called me and said, somebody told us that you didn't believe in a supreme being. And I said, that's right, I don't. They said, oh, okay. And do you mind? Then they called back and said they were going to make this public. Did I mind? I said, no, I don't care. And so, it's surprising. I will say this. I did receive... I'm going to tell you 5,000 email messages from around the world. And of the 5,000, I'm going to say that 1,500 maybe were people who felt I needed help. And they were critical or disagreed with my stand, but they were so nice. They all wanted to know how they could help me. Could they pray for me? did I want to discuss these problems with them? I have never been criticized in such a gentle, kind way in my political career. So it was a win-win for me.
Well, that should be a lesson to other members of Congress or other politicians that maybe it's not the kiss of death to let people know that you're not religious. And yet you still are the only member of Congress who is openly willing to identify as non-religious, but statistically 15% of the population is non-religious, and that should mean about 60 more or more of you in the House are not religious. Where are they?
They're here. They it's just like saying that, you know, I don't like the under God part of the Pledge of Allegiance. Wasn't there when I was a kid. Somebody added it much later. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to say it. Or at least I'm just going to keep my mouth closed.
So you think
that part of it? I think it's a political fear.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think they're worried about the activism of the born again movement or the evangelicals. And that as a politician, you don't want to stir up any more trouble than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is they look at that and say, why should they get into that fight? Mm-hmm. They're worried about creating jobs and reducing taxes and cutting spending and all those things that are the stuff of which we politicians are made. And a few of my colleagues are ministers and active ministers of their faith. So they go home on Sundays and give their church service or whatever. And I'm not sure how many there are right now, but there have always been one or two.
Well, your colleagues could take notice of the fact that you were reelected after this news came out. There was no damaging political effect, at least as far as you can see.
None at all. And my district is, I'm going to guess it's half, I have a huge Indo-American, Chinese-American population, which may be Buddhist or Hindu, but among the older parts of my district, I'd guess that it's half Catholic, basically.
Yeah, but that's California Catholic.
Oh, is that different? Okay. That's weekend Catholic, isn't it? Okay.
Now, what actually spurred us to call you was this resolution that you introduced last week for Darwin Day, and we haven't had a chance to talk about that. We have to take a break, and we will come back. I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker.
Do you have a copy of it that you could read, or should we read it?
I guess you'll have to read it. I don't have it right here.
We'll come back and talk with Representative Pete Stark about why he sponsored a resolution to honor Charles Darwin. And we'll be right back.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we're back with our conversation with Representative Pete Stark in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing California's 13th Congressional District.
And we were enjoying during the break getting a little better acquainted, and I found out that Representative Stark has 7 children, 4 kids, if I can say that, in their 50s, and 3 younger. Including, you told me, 9-year-old twins.
9-year-old twins and a 15-year-old genius.
Wow.
Who is a writer and a very active young man.
So your kids, all of them, are getting some education from you on your Darwin Day resolution that you introduced last week. And did you get, it didn't pass, right, the Darwin resolution? Did you get any sponsors?
I don't know whether we had co-sponsors on our resolution, of possibly a couple. And as I say, it was a bit of a jibe at the head in the sand crowd, who've been, you know, bashing science, whether they're fighting for creationism or denying the fact that climate change has some man-made parts to it. And it was just a way to recognize that, along with the president, that we want to encourage young people to be interested in science, and that's not always easy. You know, algebra and biology can be some pretty tough subjects.
Well, we loved it. And would it be all right if Dan read this resolution now?
Certainly.
House Resolution 81, which was referred to the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Resolution expressing support for the designation of February 12, 2011 as Darwin Day, recognizing the importance of science in the betterment of humanity. Whereas Charles Darwin's theory of evolution by the mechanism of natural selection, together with a monumental amount of scientific evidence he compiled to support it, provides humanity with a logical and intellectually compelling explanation for the diversity of life on Earth. Whereas the validity of Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection is further strongly supported by the modern understanding of the science of genetics. Whereas it's been the human curiosity and ingenuity exemplified by Darwin that's promoted new scientific discoveries that have helped humanity solve many problems and improve living conditions. Whereas the advancement of science must be protected from those unconcerned with the adverse impacts of global warming and climate change. Whereas the teaching of creationism in some public schools compromises the scientific and academic integrity of the United States education systems. Whereas Charles Darwin is a worthy symbol of scientific advancement on which to focus and around which to build a global celebration of science and humanity intended to promote a common bond among all of Earth's peoples. And whereas February 12, 2011 is the anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin in 1809, it would be an appropriate date to designate as Darwin Day. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the House of Representatives, 1, supports the designation of Darwin Day, and 2, recognizes Charles Darwin as a worthy symbol on which to celebrate the achievements of reason, science, and the advancement of human knowledge.
Well, hear, hear.
Hear, hear, indeed.
And how come that can't pass?
Well, I gather because there are a group of my colleagues who want to convince you that global warming is a figment of left-wing loonies imagination, and that many of these issues are things that we should not be dealing with. So they would like to ignore science and deal more with whatever the evangelical creeds are, whatever the Tea Party wants them to do. And those are different, I might add, in many cases. And
You just have to keep pitching it, you know, and promoting it. And is this the first time you've introduced a resolution like this?
It really is. I must say, I guess I'm violating my own code of letting some religion get into politics, but I thought it became important because we're trying to encourage young people to move ahead in science. We are not going to, in this country, build jobs on low-wage factory workers. Those jobs are gone. Those jobs will be in China and Asia and Africa. They're not going to be here. And if we want our country to grow and create jobs, we're going to have young people who are immersed in technology, understand it, and the whole country can profit from it. That's, I believe, our future. No, leave religion out of it. Science is at the base of how we will grow jobs in our country, I believe.
Well, we believe it too, and we thank you so much, Representative Stark, for joining us today, for taking the time out of your very busy schedule.
Well, I'm happy to.
Thank you, and for championing reason in Congress, and for your wonderful state church voting record. We really appreciate it, and you're coming out as a non-believer. Wow.
And keep me out there and let me know when I can help.
And think of all the loony resolutions that have been passed in favor of religion and all these other senseless things. And here, standing up for what makes our country great. Most of our founders were scientific in their minds, Jefferson and Franklin and all of them. So they believed in the, you know, they considered our country to be an experiment. They talked in scientific terms and that we wouldn't have liberty at all without that openness of science. And so for you to champion that is, I think, much more American than standing up and putting your hand on your heart and saying, one nation under God.
I thought we were running out of time. We got another minute while we have you here. What do you think are the greatest threats right now to state church separation?
Oh, I think the greatest threats are the religious problems around the world, where we are somehow think that we can resolve the differences in different communities, in Asian communities or African communities, at the point of a gun. I mean, my heavens, if we don't learn that bringing assistance and education and health care to the world is rather than guns and driving people at the point of a rifle, then we're in real trouble.
Well, thank you so much for standing up for reason and science and healthcare, of course. You know, countries do better with more universal healthcare.
Absolutely.
And actually, with more healthcare, religion declines. I don't know if you knew that, but
no, I didn't know that.
Of course, it's not your business to decline religion in Congress, but
okay. Well, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor, I've enjoyed this so much. I hope we can talk again soon.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much.
You be well.
We were just talking with Representative Pete Stark of the U.S. House of Representatives, who represents California's 13th Congressional District, who is the only, as far as we know, the only out non-believing member of Congress. So thank you. We also want to thank our producer, Brian Turani, who's always a quiet genius over there, pushing all the right buttons. Our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show, Free Thought Radio, is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear all the past shows and sign up for the podcast.
Ask for more information about FFRF at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can join online. You can request information online. You can find lots of news and action alerts. And we'll be back next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.
We're not a Christian country. Of course not.